We want to continue our study of Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that deals with faith. Turn with me today to Hebrews chapter 11. And actually, we've been looking at the aspect of pleasing God. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter on faith, but really, I believe that the underlying statement of it, the message of it, is this: how to please God. We've been looking in our study on faith at several important features. One of those is we've discovered that there's really two ways to live. We can either live by faith or by sight. Those are the options. And I think sometimes we begin to say, well, it seems like it would be a more sure thing to if we could live by sight, because, boy, if you can see it or if you can touch it, if you can grab it, isn't that the surest way to live? And we've been finding out from the Bible that nothing could be further from the truth. You have to choose between living by faith and living by sight. And really, the way that is the most sure way to live is to live by faith, not by sight. To live by sight is to limit. It limits us to those things that we can put into focus. But it would be like us saying here in Kansas, you know, I really don't think there's such a thing as a Pike's Peak. So I say, well, why don't you believe it? Well, I don't see it. So you sit there and say, now look, do you look west? Look due, do you see Pike's Peak? Well, no. Then it must not be there. It must not be real. And you could turn around and face east and say, I don't think there's a Statue of Liberty. Oh, you know? No. Do you see it? Well, no. I guess there's not. The rumor goes around. Pike's Peak is gone. Statue of Liberty's gone. How do you know? We don't see it. It's like the cosmonauts. They blast the Russian astronauts up into space, and they look around. They came back with this report. There is no God. Well, that's impressive. You know, they went up, they looked around, and they surmised there is no God. I like what Criswell in Dallas said. Have them take one step out of the spaceship, and they'll meet God. You know, we have this idea that if we can see it, boy, that's it. To be honest with you, we were fish in that pond yesterday, and we couldn't see a single fish, could we? Fishing has a little bit to do with faith, doesn't it? Then it says this: there is a way that is the safest way to live. It's by faith. If God makes a promise that this is going to happen, if this is going to come true, my dear friend, that's the safest way to live, isn't it? And there's a way that is sure to please God, and guess what it is? It's not by faith, but it's by sight. And so we find in the Bible that there are two ways to live. One is by sight and one is by faith. And we want to look today, which is the surest way to live, which is the safest way to live, and which way pleases God. In our study, in Hebrews 11, we've been looking at some of the characters of the Old Testament. Remember, we saw in Hebrews 11 that really, first of all, it describes faith, and then it gives examples of faith. We've seen how that it described Abel. Abel talks to us of worship. Next, we saw that it talked of Enoch. Enoch talks to us how we should walk. Then last week, the last time we had our lesson together, we looked at Noah, and Noah had something to say about how we work. Now, don't you like it when they're all W's? Worship for Abel, walk for Enoch, work for Noah. Today is Abraham, it will be wanderings, and Sarah womb. And I'm going to take a week or two to figure out W's for Joseph and Isaac and the others, but maybe you can help me. Remember, Noah, how ridiculous can you be? Here is a man that was told by God to build a boat because it was going to rain, it was going to flood, and so he said, all right, prepare an ark. And up until that point in time, no one had ever seen rain. The ocean was 800 or 900 miles away, and this man builds an ark in his backyard. Ridiculous? No, faith. And so today, we want to look at a character by the name of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And it is the life of Abraham illustrated how we are to live life even in this day and age. And so let's read together, beginning in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 through 19. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead. As many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. There's the story, the marvelous summary of the characters of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Their lessons in faith. Abel talks to us about how to worship. We saw that there was a worship of Cain that was not acceptable to God, but there was a worship by Abel that was acceptable to God. And it says this, that because of his faith, his sacrifice was acceptable to God. We saw Enoch. We saw that Enoch walked by faith. He walked day by day with a God he'd never seen, but it pleased God. And said he had this testimony that he pleased God. And said without faith it is impossible to please God. We know the thing that dominated in the life of Enoch was this. He had faith in God. Then there was Noah. Noah had never seen rain. A flood was unheard of. And he erected a huge ark in his backyard. And he labored for 120 years. And for 120 years he told the world that judgment was coming. That it was going to be rain, a flood. It was going to rain so hard and so long that a flood would come and would float that boat in his backyard, 900 miles away from the ocean. It had never rained. Not so much evidence as even a cloud in the sky when he began the message. And he preached it for 120 years. And now we come to one, Abraham. And what a life he has. I want us to look at several aspects of his life, but I want to begin by us looking at this particular verse. The first thing I see about faith, especially as taught in the lesson of Abraham, is this, that faith will manifest itself through obedience. It is one thing for us to say, you know, I have faith. But whenever I find faith in the Bible, I always see that it's accompanied by the aspect of obedience. And so notice, if you will, first of all, in the life of Abraham, he was pleasing to God because his faith was manifest, it revealed itself in terms of obedience. It says in verse 8, when he was called to go out, it says he obeyed. The way this is put in the original language is marvelous. It says that while he was in the process of being called, he obeyed. As God was saying, Abraham, he was going out the door. Is that the way we obey? Now, I'm convinced that God has a way to make most of us obey. But the secret is this. What does he have to do to us in order to get us to obey? Children, have you ever noticed how they obey? I find for the most part that if you look at the record of a child, they obey. First you ask them, don't you? And then you threaten them. And if you're like most parents, you threaten them 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times. And that child has a unique sense to know when mom and dad really mean it. And they obey sometimes because of punishment, don't they? But they normally obey, don't they? Adults are no different, just a little older. And God knows that we will obey, but the secret is this. What does it take to get us to obey? And so God comes to Abraham. And we're going to go into Genesis and read the account. And he comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave. And as he's saying, Abraham, I want you to leave, Abraham gets up and he begins to head for the door. He's going. And the Bible says that when he was called to go to a place, which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing where he went. I know what you're thinking. This is ridiculous. Because you see, if God were to tell us something like this, I think that we would say, well, first of all, how far do I have to move? How long is it going to be? Why do I have to move? Yeah, we can think of a lot of questions, don't we? And Abraham never asked a single question. It's just this. When he heard God speak to him, Abraham leave, he began to leave as God was still speaking. My dear friend, that's faith, because faith always puts itself in terms of obedience. Faith. You know what the Bible says? The just shall live by faith. You know what he's saying? Here's how you can tell the just, because the just obey God. Not out of threatening. They do it out of a pure heart. When God speaks, they're ready to go. Does that describe you? It says this, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, it says this, do you please God by your obedience? Does God just suggest something and you do it? Or does God have to say, listen, if you don't do it, that's the way he treated the children of Israel. If you don't keep every seventh year, I'm going to bring you to slavery. Did God make them obey? Sure did. Remember, the reason that they were in Babylon under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar was because for 490 years they neglected the Sabbath year, didn't they? You see, what would happen? Every 6 years, God would give such a bountiful crop that you wouldn't have to plant on the seventh. These Jews begin to say, well, if we did that on the sixth, just think what's going to happen on the next year. And so they would neglect the Sabbath plantings. And they continued this way. And finally, at the end of 490 years, God says, you owe me 70 years. I know the only way to have the land rest is I'll simply take you as slaves out of here to Babylon. They obeyed, didn't they? The land got its rest. Tough way to get rest, isn't it? But God is determined to allow you to obey. But here's what pleases God, is that when a person believes God, and God says it, and as he said it, that person begins to go. That was Abraham. And I can just see the rest of his family say, Abraham, where in the world are you going? Abraham says, well, to be honest, he said, I don't know. Well, then Abraham, sit down, at least get out of mat. No, he says, God told me to leave, and I'm going. Well, Abraham, how long are you going to be gone? Abraham said, to be honest, he didn't say that. The message I got was go, and so I'm going. Well, Abraham, don't you think that you ought to know how long you're going to be gone? How are we going to send mail to you? I mean, you know, the Penny's catalog, the Sears catalog, the Montgomery. You're going to want all that stuff. No, Abraham said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how long I'll be gone. Well, Abraham, why are you going? He said, to be honest with you, he said, I don't know that either. And I can see the advice of every rational person who lives by sight saying, Abraham, I think you just better settle down here and you'll be over this notion in a few minutes. Not Abraham. He was on his way. And I can hear them shout as he leaves, Abraham, what's the name of your God that told you to go? And Abraham says, I don't know his name either. God had never revealed his name to Abraham when Abraham left. That's faith, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what. I see people today, and they're afraid to move. The Bible is very clear that it is not possible for those who are believers who are going on to live side by side with the world. I think God has called us to move. And it looks like we're deaf, but not Abraham. He had good hearing, didn't he? And as God was calling, he obeyed. He let everything go. Let's look at the call. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed. Four things that are there. One, he says, I'll make you a great nation. Two, I will bless you personally. Three, I will make your name great. And four, thou shalt be a blessing. I think that's the blessing, the promise of the Messiah coming. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. We find that Lot goes along with him. You see, he let everything go. Now, I want you to know that where he was living what's called the land of Ur. U-R is how it's spelled. And in this land of Ur, it was a luxurious land. It was a fertile ground. It was well-watered. It was in between the Euphrates rivers and the Tigris rivers, and it was a well-watered ground. Crops grew. Prosperity came. And God says, no, I want you to leave. We read in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, it says that on that side of the river, however, there were idol worship. And because of idol worship, God says, listen, Abraham, I want you to leave. And so Abraham packs up and he goes to the land of Canaan, a land of a desert. Sound like a good trade? And on the way, God says, listen, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. And Abraham's never seen it. Doesn't know the name of it. Abraham is 75 years old when he goes. When Abraham is done with life, he will be 175 years. For 100 years, he moves as God directs him, and he never builds a house. And he never has a title deed to a single square foot of that ground other than a small burial plot that he buys to bury his wife in. Otherwise, he never has security, real estate title, to a single inch of it. Would you have faith to obey and to live like that? My dear friend, I'm not sure that God has changed any. You see, I look around at professing Christians today. I read what the Bible says, and I see us, and we're anchored in. We don't have the idea that this is a temporary place. But Abraham understood from God that where he was living was not his real home. Turn with me to several verses in the New Testament concerning this new lifestyle. Romans chapter 12, to begin with. The book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul, the human author, says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does holy mean? It means separated, doesn't it? The word holy means to separate it unto something. And so God says, listen, Abraham, I want you to separate yourself from your family. I want you to separate yourself from the heathen idols that are in the temples there in that land. I'm going to bring you to a new land. I'm going to give you a city whose builder and maker is not of the earth. And Abraham goes. And then he comes to us and he says, listen, here is your reasonable service. Remember, it's reasonable, not unreasonable. He said, I have saved you. He said, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to be holy, acceptable unto God. And that means separated unto God. Well, what about us as Christians today? Are we separated from the world? You know what I noticed today? It appears to me that Christians, as best we can, we want to blend in right with the world, don't we? We want to look like them. We want to smell like them. We want to talk like them. We want to think like them. We want to act like them. We want to eat like them. So that no one can guess that we're different. Not Abraham. Abraham said, listen, I'm called of God. I'm to be separated. I'm not going to live like the world. And yet today, it appears to me that we are trying our best to be just like the world. And we'll never please God that way. Now, I don't expect to win an Oscar preaching this. Matter of fact, I'm looking for tar and feathers. But that's all right. I think it's biblical. He said, here is your reasonable service. You be different. You be separated from the world. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. That's the outward. The word conforming is this. Don't let them squeeze you into their mold. But be ye transformed. That's an inward word. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at another statement concerning it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. He says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The last place you would ever expect to see a heathen idol would be in the temple of God, isn't it? Next it says this, for you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Strong statement. He says, how can you that have a new nature continue to walk in the same old things? He said, here is what's reasonable, be separate from them. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't live in the world, but it means that we don't live with the values of the world. That's what he's saying. Look at another aspect of it. James chapter 1. James was one of those preachers that never minced words. I'm convinced that if he were alive today, he'd always be looking for a job. Not many people would want to come and hear him preach. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Say, how many grease spots on your clothes does it take to be to make it so that it's ruined? Just one, right? And so he says, all right, here's what it is. Pure religion and undefiled before God is what? To be unspotted from the world. But we have this idea, well, as long as there, you know, we can have a few spots. What's wrong with a little bit of spot? That's not God's standard, is it? Look at another one. James chapter 4, verse 4. Strong statement. You adulterers and adulteresses. Now, that's the way to make friends. I mean, address your audience that way. Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Wow. He said, if you're a friend of the world, he says, you're an enemy of God. How can that be? I'll tell you what, it's not by the standards of 1980, but it's by the standards of God. Wherefore, therefore, who will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. My dear friend, I believe that the pattern is this. We will never win the world by being a part of the world. Archimedes said this, I can move the world if I put the lever off of the world, off of the earth. You'll never move the earth when you're on the earth, will you? But if you put the fulcrum, if you put the lever apart from it, then you can move it. And the further you get away from it, the easier it is to move. That's the whole principle of a lever. And I see Christians, and we're going to change the world. How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to smell like them. I'm going to eat like them. I'm going to drink with them. We'll never do it. And we're deceiving ourselves because the principle is clear. Be separate. Go out from them. We're the ones that do the moving. We can't expect the world to move. And Abraham, he was living in the midst of an idolatrous society. And God says, Abraham, you want blessing? Go. And Abraham left as he was talking. And he didn't know where he was going. And as he began to go, he found out that he was looking for a home. He was looking for a city, and it wasn't on the earth. That'd take some faith. My dear friend, when a person commits to being a Christian, they've got to live by faith. They're going to have to believe in a Jesus Christ that they have never seen with their eye. That's faith, isn't it? Now, remember that the enemy of faith is not reality, it is sight. Jesus is real. But just because you've never seen him, it doesn't mean he's not real. But if a person's going to be a Christian, they're going to have to believe in a Jesus Christ who came, who died, who rose again, and they've never seen him. They're going to have to believe in a God that they've never seen. No man has ever seen him. They're going to have to believe in a Bible, and they've never met a single man who penned a single word of this Bible. They're going to have to believe in manuscripts that they've never seen with their eye. It takes faith to be a Christian, doesn't it? But my dear friend, you'll either believe in yourself, or you believe in ideas, or you believe in religion, or you believe in God. See, everyone has faith. You just get to choose what you're going to put your faith in. And Abraham decided to believe God. So Abraham left. He obeyed. Look, if you will, at another aspect of this. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. He says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. So the idea of fashioning means this, not taking on the values according to the former lust in your ignorance. He says, listen, when you became a Christian, you had a whole new value system. Verse 15, but as he who hath called you is holy, be you holy in all manner of life. Is that strong? He said, just as God is separate from sin, he says, you are to be separate from sin. Lest you think he made a typographical error, 2 Peter chapter 1. He's going to repeat it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. by which are given to us exceedingly great and precious promise. Most of the time we stop right there, don't we? Look at this. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, it's the idea of separation from this. So what is worldliness? Let me tell you that worldliness is both an attitude as well as an action. I believe that some of us are very clever in this whole idea, because you see, we're not about to do some of the acts that we know are terrible. You want to know why? We're afraid someone will catch us. But worldliness is as much an attitude as it is an action. Worldliness is, even though we don't do it, it's when we want to do it. Get the idea? You see, sometimes we're restrained. Maybe we don't have the opportunity. Maybe we're afraid we'll get caught. So we just want to do it. And when a person becomes separated, it says this, he no longer wants to do it. Then there's no problem with whether he'll do it or not, because he no longer wants to do it. And so I think that's the first lesson that Abraham gives us. It says this, people who live by faith, they live in obedience to God. As God is speaking, they're doing. Does that describe you? Really, does it? Here's the proof. Name one thing that you're doing different now than you were a year ago. You say, well, we don't mind preaching, but don't expect us to do anything different. Listen, all you had to do was to say, Abraham, move, and Abraham was gone. Does that describe you? Abraham lived by faith. What do we live by? And then I see another principle. The next principle that I see about faith is, as we see in the life of Abraham, is this. Faith manifests itself in patience. It's revealed in patience. This man, Abraham, would have to obey and have patience based solely, entirely, on what God said. He believed God. And he had to rest everything right there. And so it says this in Hebrews 11. It says that he became a sojourner. Why, that's an incredible statement. Verse 5, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He gets over in the land. And when he gets over in the land, God never allows him to settle down. God never gives him the real estate title to a single inch of it. But instead, he continues to wander. He continues to be, he's the first Bedouin. He's a nomad. And all the time, throughout this entire life of 100 years, here's what you'll find about Abraham. He pitched a tent and he built an altar. Now, what is the message in pitching a tent and building an altar? Here it is. Abraham never felt he was at home. You know what? Look around at this old world. And this world really isn't our home. Do you know that? Boy, the way some of us are anchored down, you'd think it was. May I just suggest to you, the tent life would be good for some of us. You see, we've grabbed onto so much of the world that we want to anchor down. God never let Abraham anchor down. He would build an altar. That reminds me of the aspect of there would be sacrifice. There would be self-sacrifice. But he never allowed him to build a house. Now, I'm not going to preach against houses. I'm simply saying that it's the point. The point was this, that Abraham was not going to settle down. This would never be his home. He was looking for a city that was not on the earth. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And so for 100 years, he left a rich plain. He left a land of wealth. And for 100 years, the only home he had was a tent. Like the sounds of it? Say, no, wait a minute. Enough is enough. I don't mind going on a little vacation. I'll go to a week of camp. That's bad enough. No TV, no telephone. Share a shower with three other families. God doesn't expect any more than that, does he? Well, here's Abraham. And for 100 years, this man lives in tent. By the way, he could have afforded to build a house. It wasn't that he was bankrupt. It was this. He never felt like this was home. He moved to it and said, no, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. This isn't it. But he would build an altar because he sacrificed to God. And so wherever Abraham pitched his tent, he would build an altar. And long after the tent was shifted, there was that altar built as a monument to where a man of God had been. What an indication of sacrifice, of burnt offerings, of self-denial, of self-surrender. Say, I think one of the reasons today that we know so little of tent life is because there's some suffering, there's some inconveniences that you have to put up with in tent life, don't you? And we've already decided that we may be Christians, but we're not about to put up with any inconveniences. Would God expect Christians in the 80s to have some inconveniences? Well, I believe that God is not afraid to even have us endure some inconveniences if it would put us in fellowship with Him. It was in the tent life that Abraham's intense devotion to God was cultivated. It was in that tent life that Abraham had the deepest fellowship with God. It was in the tent life that he had the happiest communion with God. And my dear friend, we're missing those things today, aren't we? We're missing an intense devotion to God. We're missing people that are in real fellowship with God. And if it's going to cost us a change in how we live, wait just a minute. I'll be committed as long as it doesn't commit me to anything. Well, that wasn't Abraham. My dear friend, if your private prayers lately have been hindered, maybe it's because you've been spending so little time living in a tent and so little time building an altar. Instead, maybe we're building the tent and we're just pitching the altar. And so the aspect of Abraham's faith manifests itself not only in obedience but also in patience. And you will find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "All right, Abraham, move out." And then you'll find that in chapter 15, he speaks to him again. Notice Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. And you'll see the next message that God gave to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And so when he moves out, he patiently waits for a word from God. Now, chapter 15, verse 1, you look again at chapter 17, verse 1. "And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, be thou separated, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him." And now he's going to get a child promise. But I want you to know that between Genesis 12, when he's 75, and Genesis 17, when he's 99, those 25 years, those would be long, lonely years, wouldn't they? For 100 years, he lived in a tent, a wealthy man, obeying God, and he could never settle down and say, "Right, here's home, here's my mailing address." For 25 years, God promised to bless all people through him and through his large family, and no son. And for 15 of those years, there was not a single message from God. How would you like it? You know what real faith has? It has patience. You know, we're not big on patience today, are we? Like one person said, "Lord, I want patience and I want it now." We demand things from God, don't we? But real faith exercises patience in God. He never became a citizen. He never built a house, just a tent. He submitted to God's timetable. Let me suggest to you that God takes his time, but God's never late. Isn't that marvelous to know? I think we need to be reminded that all the way back in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, that God promised a Savior, didn't he? But the Savior didn't come for thousands of years. In John 14, he said, "Listen, I'm preparing a place for you." He's preparing it. And that's been over 1,900 years. He's not late. Genesis 12, he said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a great nation." And then for 15 years, it was completely silent from heaven. What would you have done? I think some night, real late, or a real dark night, you would have snuck back in to the land of Ur, wouldn't you? And you would have just settled in, and the next morning the road said, "Oh, I see you're back." "Well, you know, Wrong number. You know, when I thought God called, but it was the wrong number. 15 years and not a single sign, not a single message from God. What would you have done? You know what Abraham did? He faithfully, patiently waited for God to reveal the next step. You see, sometimes we have the idea that God has to show us the whole plan right now. But I find that what God does, He leads us step by step by step by step. He doesn't tell us the next step until we take that step. That's what pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Abraham was absolutely content to leave, to obey by faith, and then he patiently waited for God to show him the very next step, and it was all alone, and it was very dark, and it was very silent. And Abraham continued. Boy, he pleased God, didn't he? Say, have you ever wondered, why does God take these kind of surroundings for men of faith? Have you ever wondered that? Abraham, he called out of the land of heathen idols. Luther, he called out of the Church of Rome. Moses, he called out of Egypt. Joseph, he calls out of the pit. What about us? In the middle of the 80s, in the middle of America. My dear friend, I think it's as dark now as it's ever been. I read what God says. He says, listen, before I come back, faith will be a rare thing. Not saving faith, but a life of faith. We are people that are anchored to the tangible. We want to reach out. We want to grab it. We don't want to lose a single thing. But not Abraham. He patiently waited for God. Next, notice verse 11 of Hebrews. Here's another aspect of Abraham. It's said of Abraham that his faith was manifest in this way. Faith, real faith, always manifests itself in influencing others. And so the Bible says this, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, why? She judged him faithful who had promised. Now, past age means 90. That's really past age, isn't it? 90 years old and a child is born. Now, remember that in Hebrews 11, it says that by faith, Sarah, okay, I want to show you her faith. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 18. I hope you enjoy this the way I did. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. Let's read this account of Sarah's faith. Genesis 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? Listen, she laughed inside. She never giggled outwardly. She just inside, she says, that's a funny thought. She thought that. And God judged the thought. He said, you've laughed. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, He likes to exercise our faith. I believe that faith is really like a muscle. Faith is idle when the circumstances are right. But when adversity comes, then one's faith in God is exercised. And God's delight is for us to have faith in Him. And so He takes unusual circumstances, impossible circumstances, and He says, all right, trust me through these. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. My dear friend, today, if everyone could see heaven for 1 minute, everyone would want to come to Christ. But you know what He told Thomas? Blessed are those that believe, having never seen. It says in Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please God. His plea is this, believe me, trust me. I know you haven't seen me, but trust me. And so He makes these promises. Verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And He said, nay, thou didst laugh. Now, this same story that we just read, where Sarah laughs inside and denies that she laughed, this is the one that's recorded in Hebrews 11. And it says this, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. Isn't that an incredible way to transform a testimony? You say, how can they record it that way? You know what? I like to think that somehow, as Sarah began to see Abraham, when he got that message from God, he said, all right, let's make a nursery. So I said, you got to be kidding. Do you know how old 90 is? He says, yes, I'm 99 myself. She said, don't be ridiculous. She said, we were excited about our children for the first 55 years of our marriage. I'm not going to. And all the time she talked, there's Abraham, and he begins making a little baby cradle. He begins decorating the nursery. And the next day, she said, look, this is not going to happen. He said, oh, it will. He said, it surely will. He said, God said it would. And do you realize that during that 9-month period of time, that Abraham, through his strong faith in God, convinced Sarah that she was going to have a baby? I'm thrilled about that, aren't you? I'll tell you what, it's as if that real faith convinces others. Faith. I really believe that any time there's real saving faith that has done a work in a person's life, I believe that they'll convince others of it. Are you convincing others? Are you bringing others to Christ? If not, my dear friend, you know what? I'm not sure that we're living a life by faith. Because there's the testimony, there's the example of Abraham. And then here's one. Faith manifests itself in a miracle. You know, it doesn't take any faith not to believe in a miracle. Now, I realize that the world says that Christians are deaf and dumb and blind. And you know what I say whenever they tell me that? I say, you're right. You see, Christians are deaf to doubt, aren't they? Isn't that good? And they are dumb to discouragement, and they are blind to impossibilities. Because listen to the verse, is anything too hard for God? There's the test. The answer is no, nothing's too hard for God. And so indeed we aren't. Faith is dumb to doubt, and faith is deaf to discouragement, and faith is blind to impossibilities when God has promised them. You know, I don't blame a person who's not a believer in Christ to say, how in the world do you think that he's going to get all the Christians off of the face of the earth called the rapture? How are you going to do it? I don't blame them for doubting that, do you? But I'll tell you what, I have chosen to believe the Bible in the words of Christ, and he says, I'll take you. Going to do it. Matter of fact, I always get amused when people say, well, you know, I think that maybe it's when the planets are going to align and there's going to be a great gravitational... I'm convinced of this, it won't be that. You can calculate the planets aligning from now until the cows come home. Listen, if my God is not able to take us off of the earth with his supernatural power, then he won't be able to do it with natural power. It's got nothing to do with the planets aligning. It's got to do with the power of God, doesn't it? And so faith, real faith, does this. It manifests itself in a miracle. And that's going to be a miracle birth. An incredible child is going to be born. Well, our time is gone, and so we're going to have to study that one next week if the Lord tarries that long. As we close today, let me ask you this. Have you ever put your faith in God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The most important thing about faith is who you anchor in, what you anchor it in. And if you have, the Bible says this, that if a person will receive the death and resurrection of Christ by faith, what does that mean? It means this, that we receive it, but since we can't see it, the only way that we can secure it is by faith. That's where faith saves. Faith is the avenue that allows us to see an invisible God, an invisible crucifixion. We can't reconstruct the crucifixion, but we can believe it. Have you ever done that? That's the first step. That's called salvation. And then the Bible says this, that we're not only saved by faith, but we're to live by faith. And he says it begins in this way. When we begin to trust God, and the first step of Abraham in trusting God was this, that he left. He separated himself from the world. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't think separation is a very popular message today, but it is biblical, isn't it? You know what I would love? I would love for someone to say this. I don't care if people ever say, you know, the people at Sunrise, they are that's the biggest group of Christians. I don't have any desire for that. Or I don't desire them to say, you know, the people at Sunrise, they are the most. I don't have any desire for that. But you know what I wish they would say of us? The people at Sunrise, you know what? They are separated people. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? They are holy people. Be you holy, even as He is holy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How can you be holy in an unholy world? There's only one way. Have faith in God. That's it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, being holy, it's not a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, is it? But to be holy means this, that we are so separated on Him that we obey whatever He says. We trust His Word. And this becomes the light by which we walk. My dear friend, He's not going to reveal to us what's going to happen 2 months down the road or 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, even if He does tarry, and I don't think He will. But if He were to tarry that long, He's not going to tell us what's ahead. He's going to give us just enough light to take one more step. And when we take that step, guess what? He's going to light the next step. But here's what would please Him. If we tied into Him by faith the same way Abraham tied into God by faith. Now, we know His name, don't we? The Spirit of God dwells in us. We have a written guarantee. Abraham had, as best I can tell, in 25 years, he had 3 messages from God. 3. What would you do if you only had 3 messages from God? Well, I'll tell you what. I think Sarah's wife would have said, Abraham, are you sure God said move? I mean, to load all this furniture and the moving man to head out down the road. We've got to be sure. How do you know it was God? Abraham said, I know. Prove it. I can't. But he goes, doesn't he? Not knowing the name of God, not knowing where God would take him, not knowing how long, how far. He just believed God. Say, what if you saw someone walk like that today? What would you say? They're fanatic, wouldn't you? I'm praying God send a whole bunch of fanatics to Sunrise. Help us to be so fanatical that we trust God and we have no other doctrine than this. We believe God and His Word. And we'll take Him at His Word. And we'll walk by faith. And the rest of the world, they may say, you're nuts. But we are looking intently for the coming of Christ. We're looking for God to do a great work in us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Listen, would God keep His Word to Abraham? Oh, my dear friend, He sure did. And Abraham died 100 years later. And when he died 100 years later, he did not have 1 inch of that promised land tucked away in his pocket. And when he would die, he would have 1 son, and that son would have 2 sons, and then they would bury him. And you know what it says? That when they buried him, guess what Abraham was still doing? He was still trusting God. Oh, listen, I'll tell you, I want to be identified with Abraham. And it says in Galatians, you can be the children of Abraham. Not that I'm going to be born a Jew. But I can trust God the way he trusted God. And I pray, oh God, in the midst of a nation that grabs onto every tangible thing, help us to walk by faith. Lonesome? Yes. Crazy? Maybe. But godly? For sure. What's the surest way to walk? By faith. What's the best way to walk? By faith. What's the only way to walk to please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, we marvel in the testimony of Abraham. And Father, if we're honest, we've got to say, if we would hear someone to say move, we'd say where, how long, why. But he got up and moved. And Father, for 100 years, he pitched that tent all over a desert, never finding the promise that you gave him. But he died still believing. And Father, to be promised a great nation and not to have a single son for 25 years. What incredible faith. Oh God, to listen for you to tell the next step and for it to be silent for 15 years. Father, we would have been discouraged. We would have gone back. For day by day, moment by moment, we have the Spirit of God and we have the Word of God. And yet, our Father, we look at our walk and, oh God, we pray, forgive us. Help us, dear God, to walk by faith. Help us to be holy, separated people that we might please You. Father, we marvel that we don't please You by our works. Sometimes we wish we could. Sometimes, Father, we wish that we could do some good deed for You, and from that point on, well, we would have Your favor. But, Father, You've said it's not by works that salvation is obtained, but it's by faith in the finished work of Christ. And, Father, we pray today that if there's one in the audience that has never received Christ, that even today I might come and accept the great covenant-making and keeping God. Father, how we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray and give You thanks. Amen.